Blog Talk Radio.
Coming as a thief in the night. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. How are you today, Tasila?
I'm doing very well. I just want to say hi to all our listeners, all our friends and family from all over the world. We thank you for all your feedback and all the positivity that has come through. Especially about our recent guests, and we're all excited about that tonight. Right, Pastor T?
Oh yeah. Hold on to your seats, everybody, because you're going on a journey tonight, okay? But first of all, I'd like for you all to pick up your phones, grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. We'll give you a few minutes to go ahead and do that. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture or the link wherever you see our post for this particular show on Facebook if you choose to listen from your computer. You can just friend me on Facebook, T. Meyer McCain, okay? And then you'll see the post for this show, and just click on the picture or the link, and you can just sit back and listen to it from your computer, okay? So you can tell your friends that too, okay? All right, so, you might also see our post on Instagram or Twitter. So wherever you see it, just go ahead and either dial in or click on the link if you see a link, okay? We're also on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life, and you can watch us on Facebook Live on HSBN.TV, and we'll let you know when that happens. And also, you can go to go to YouTube and just put in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tecila McCain, and it'll take you to HSBN.TV. And you can actually, when you go there, if you go there direct, you can click on any one of the television programs that you see. And it's a good message on any one of them. So just go ahead and click on it, and you can watch Pastor T. Meyer and Tecila McCain, and we'll, as we bring forth some good messages to you, okay? You can also find The Message of Life on our webpage, which is www.churchofjesuschristministry.com. So you can go there and go to media and then just listen to and click on whatever program you want to listen to on The Message of Life with Pastor T. Meyer and Tecila. And don't forget our book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. It's available on Amazon right now. So go on and order that today. Just put in Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery, and the book will pop up and you can go ahead and order it. You order it today and you can get it in a couple of days. So that's pretty good, right? It's available on Amazon right now. Listen, we want you guys to stay right where you are. Don't go away, and we will be right back. Stay right there. Don't move. Freeze. Always living victory. the Lord. You're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And then, wait a minute. Hold on. What do we have here? Tasila, what's going on? I think you might be on mute.
Sorry, we've been virtual mute.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been here all along, but we were on mute. Okay, so we're talking a lot right now. We're staying in the same lane that we've been in last week, and we have some scriptures before we go into it. But it says, although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons using manipulation. So it's saying that we live in this natural realm, and you know how people do when they want to have their way, they use manipulation to get their way.
Right.
But word is telling you that we're not using manipulation to achieve our aim. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defense behind which people hide. You see how great God is? That we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that oppose God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one. So, Lord, we pray for the spirit of unbelief to be off the phone, and that the spirit of the Holy Spirit be able to operate, so that when our beautiful sister, who we're about to introduce, comes on, she can freely minister, and we're breaking down the strongholds of anything that's holding people captive. But we're breaking it in the spirit realm, not in the natural. And we're not trying to be deceptive about it. We're being outright about how we're breaking it down. So because Paul describes four arenas of our warfare, he says, we are empowered by grace and with the gospel to dismantle strongholds. We demolish arguments and opinions and theories and philosophies. We take captive every thought to insist that it becomes obedient to the mind of Christ. We stand ready and willing to wage war and defeat the enemy. So that's where we're coming from tonight. And I want to introduce our beautiful sister, Chandler Kelly, Dr. Chandler Kelly. And Pastor T is going to give you a little biopsy about her.
A little, okay. For some
biography.
Of you,
I work for doctors. That's why I said
a quick bio.
Biography. Be your quick bio.
You know, for some of you who didn't get a chance to hear Dr. Kelly last week, I'm going to go ahead and kind of introduce her in case you don't know her. Dr. Kelly, Dr. Chandler J. Kelly, she's an author, evangelist, honorary degree, Doctor of Divinity at Elbin College of Ministry, Apple Valley, California. Dr. Kelly is a woman of the Word of God. She has a deliverance ministry, and she is a spirit-filled certified life coach in the Word of God. She's the founder of Sisters Women in Ministry, SWIM, if you want to kind of use the initials, SWIM, SWIM, which is a ministry that the Lord placed in her heart back in 1982. It is for women to find power to walk, dance, sing, laugh, and swim in the deep ocean of God's word against the current tide of this world system. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Dr. Chandler J. Kelly.
Yay!
Can you hear? Can you hear the applause? Woo!
Yeah.
Hello, Dr. Kelly.
Thank you so much.
And
God
thank
bless
you for being on tonight.
Amen. Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Dr. Chandler, we are so glad that you're on that. And I know a lot of people are here for it. They said, literally, they cannot wait to hear part two. And so we're going to start beautiful feedback from last week. We're going to start when your father could not find his shoes.
Okay. Well, I guess there was about seven of us children at that time, because my mother had 10 children. And he was going to go out. My dad was a Baptist associate pastor of Faith Tabernacle Baptist Church, the most affluent black church in Stamford, Connecticut at that time. He also had a lover by the name of Mildred, and he was going out. It was Friday night. He was going out to be with her, and he couldn't find his other dress shoe, his church shoe. So he came out the room, and he says, it was holding up one shoe, and he says, if I don't find this other shoe tonight, he says, somebody's going to die. Somebody will die. And one of my brothers, Bobby, he was in Vietnam fighting for our country, and we were at home fighting for our lives. So we walked up the stairs. My mom walked up first, and we walked up like zombies walking up behind her. And we got into the room closest to the street, and it had snowed in it, and it was a blizzard, had been a blizzard, and the snow was packed up. And so one of my other brothers was home from Vietnam, Ricky, and we barricaded ourselves in the room, and I said to him, go jump out the window and call the cops. And there I was, very thin. I was tall and thin and agile. He said, no, I'm stronger. I'll hold the door. You go out, jump out the window. So I jumped out the window, and what I could hear my dad say is, I'm going to kill you children first so you won't have to see me kill your mother. And he just, when he came up the stairs, he picked up a crowbar. And my sister Cora, she was standing on the stairs. Now, Cora looked like his mom, so he pushed her out the way and came up the stairs, and he began to knock on the door, ram on the door. I'm going to kill you children first so you won't have to see me kill your mother. So much domestic violence in the house. Mm. And the cops came.
And what was your mom doing at that time?
In the room right there?
With you all?
Oh, she was in the room with us, yes, sitting down, scared to death.
She was barricaded also.
Mm-hmm. Very scary.
Well, and how old did you say you were at that time?
I was, I think, 18 and a half.
Mm.
But we had gone through a lot of that growing up. Mm-hmm. Every week or so, my dad would get drunk. He was a weekend alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so
okay.
Was that before your mother was pregnant or after?
I don't think my mother was pregnant that minute.
It was another incident when your mom was pregnant. She was chased up the stairs we were getting at.
Oh, yes. I was coming home from school. I was 14. I think I was 14 years old. And I was a couple of feet away from, we lived in the high-rise building, and I saw my mother running out of the house. We lived on the first floor, running out of the house, and my dad had a chair behind her. And being so agile, I dropped my books. She ran into the hallway and started up the stairs, and I jumped between my dad and my mom, and I was doing back kicks to kick the chair out of his hands, and he's trying to swing around me
to hit, kill her because she spent $15 extra from his money. And so she ran up the stairs to the third floor and then came home when he left for work on the second shift. And about a week later, she had a miscarriage. They took the baby. It was a C-section. They took the baby, and my dad gave the baby to science. She wasn't able to see the baby, our brother Christopher.
Oh.
She had already named him and everything.
Oh, wow.
And yes, yes. And that's why I started the women's ministry, the domestic violence women's ministry called SWIM, Sisters, Women in Ministry. I'll be finished with the book in a couple of weeks.
Okay. For those that have been under domestic violence.
Yes.
Yeah. We get a lot of those calls also. The whole thing is that they seem to always go back. So we're going to move forward. Remember, I know you do. I just wanted to kind of rehash a few of the things. Like the story, you said your dad was going out with Mildred, and you said Mildred was a tormentor to you. And also, something occurred with Mildred and your father that you were telling us about.
So I think it was Mildred's birthday, and my dad got off from work at 11:30, and he met Mildred at the bar in Portchester, New York, and he gave her a fur coat. It was like the little short one. They called it a fur stole. And after he gave her her birthday present, she wanted to go off with another boyfriend of hers. I guess my dad didn't think he was the first one. He was the first lover. He didn't know. But he beat her over the head with a bar stool. And she had 95 stitches from her forehead down to her chest. And my dad went to he wasn't no joke. And he went to jail that night. He stayed in jail for till Monday morning. And he asked his pastor, Pastor Baxter, Reverend Baxter, to come and give him a character reference, which I think was very crazy because he was excommunicated from the church at that time. Very much domestic violence. So that's why, you know, I went into drugs only because I was a Christian. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 18 years old.
Yeah,
and
we're good. You get to the place where you had to leave. How did that happen?
Say that again, please.
Finally, how did you get to the place where you left the home?
Oh, well, I moved to New York. I actually my dad drove me down there, and I got myself an apartment in Greenwich Village. I started working at the Board of Education, and I started modeling. And I thought I was going to just have a wonderful life for the rest of my life. But I had to go back to see about my mom on the weekends. And so I had cut my hair and put it in a big afro, beautiful afro. And I was blowing my hair, and I had my friends, my neighbor friends, girlfriends that I grew up with were standing around the bathroom. I had the door open a little bit, and I was blow-drying my hair, and I was telling them about my modeling and how I loved being in New York away from the family. And my father came up the stairs, and when he saw me, he reached over my other sister and punched me in the face and says, "What are you doing in my house?" And so I got my clothes back, and I got on the train. I didn't go to Greenwich Village where I had my own apartment, but he knew where I lived there. So I went to my uncle's house who lived in the Bronx, and I told him, I said, when daddy comes, don't tell him where I am, because I was just so nervous and I was tired of the abuse. And my uncle said, "Okay, you need to go talk to your daddy." Standing at the door, I said, "I know, I told you not to tell him I'm here." And when I got to the door, he said, "I didn't want you to grow up and leave home."
Mm-hmm. And is that when you got into alcoholism afterwards when you left?
I never drank.
Mm-hmm.
I never drank. I just smoked. I smoked pot and I did cocaine. I didn't drink. And the reason why I didn't drink, because my dad was drunk every weekend, and that turned me off from alcohol. I never drank. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just worked. I did my writings. I did my modeling. And God helped to keep my mind sane, because of all the stuff that I was going through. I would have been in the insane asylum if I hadn't received the Lord at an early age, and I thank God for that. He's good.
And for the prayers of your mother.
Oh, my goodness,
and that
my mother.
Said a thousand times in the book how your mother, her prayers really saved you.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
She prayed the blood of Jesus to cover over each and one of us. And, you know, ironically, I just was on TV and I saw your brother, Earthquake Kelly, and he was saying the same thing. He was giving
Amen.
Your mom a lot of praise. And he talked about
Amen.
A chair that she sat in and rocked in and prayed.
Amen. Amen.
He was funny.
And then she'd get us up at 5 every morning, and she was like, get up, get the kids ready. She'd tell me, get the kids up. We're getting ready to pray. And if we were high, if we had been high or drinking, not, well, I didn't drink, if we were smoking or anything, she says, you got to stand up and pray. You're not going to sit down. You're not going to lay down and get in that chair. You are going to stand up and walk this hour in this house, and you've got to call on the Lord. So we really, we have a real honor to just pray and pray.
That
and
is something. It's a testimony from all her children, too. I wanted to ask
Amen.
You, because you said you were in the Bronx and New York and Queens, and then it was a strike, a transportation strike with the taxis and buses and subways and all that, and it was, like, real late at night, and there was nothing moving, and you lived 5 blocks away from where you were, and you didn't want to walk home alone, and you met a person.
Okay, well, earlier that day, I had a friend. I only had about 3 friends there because I was I had just moved to New York about 5 or 6 months, and I had this one friend named Bolo, and he asked me if, and I was sitting in Greenwich Village Park, Washington Square Park, and he says, do you want to get high? And I said, yeah. And so he gave me a tab of acid, of LSD.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
And so, because I was doing LSD from being in Connecticut from the age of 18, and so I was used to it. And so I said, okay. And so he gave it to me, and then he said, I got to go. I said, you got to go. I don't want to go on an LSD trip by myself. And he left. So I sat there for about 4 hours and 5 hours, 6 hours, and watching all the people go by. And then it started getting dark. I said, oh, Lord. And I really wasn't a scary person, because I know my dad tried to kill us a lot, and I was strong in the Lord in that area, and things didn't really scare me. So I said, well, there's a bar across the street. I'll just go sit in the bar. I didn't drink. I went in the bar, and I sat there, and I drank some water, and I watched television. And right at that time, it said, there was an announcement on TV, alert. All of the subways, the taxis, there's a wildcat strike. Nothing is moving. So at that time, 5 people walked in. There were 2 couples, and there was a young man. And he came over and asked me to dance, and I danced with him. And they heard the news, too, wildcat strike. They were from Harlem, and I'm in Greenwich Village, and that's a long distance for walking. They could not walk there because it's over, I don't know, 25 miles, 30 miles, I'm not sure. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what, you guys can come and stay at my house tonight, because I didn't want to walk home 5 blocks as a single woman by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'll take a sip of water. And when we got to my door, there were people standing They were drug addicts standing around on the sidewalk with a dog, a big dog. When we got upstairs, there was a man standing in front of my door, and me, and I thank God I was on an LSD trip, but my mom prayed so hard I never really had a bad trip. A lot of people were out there jumping out of windows, killing themselves, but God kept me. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Prayer. Glory to God. I thank God. And so the gentleman that was walking with me, he said, "Do you live there?" I said, "Yes, that's my house." Well, there were some addicts were ripping me off. They had taken the deadbolt mm-hmm. lock off my door. I'm 19 years old, living in New York, and God sent a man to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in and pushed the refrigerator up to the door. And the next day they said they're going to have me come up to stay with them. And they had rented a truck, and I went up and stayed with them for about 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you just happened to meet
out.
These people.
I'm
yeah,
sorry?
That happens a lot back east. He said,
yeah.
You just happened to meet these people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. God sent them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a strike. They happened to be there. I happened to be alone, needing somebody to walk me home to protect me, because when I got there, I was being ripped off by some junkies with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The name from being revealed, we'll just call him Under. And
we'll call him Lou. That's his first name.
Okay, we'll call him what you want. And you said he was extremely demonic and jealous over you. And he told you he was reincarnated from an African king, and he wanted you to be his queen.
Yes. And he was a sorcerer.
Now, he wasn't one of the guys that rescued you, was he?
He was the very one who rescued me. God sent a sorcerer to rescue his daughter.
Wow.
Well, see, when you got a praying mother like I had, possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so they moved me up to Harlem. They were very nice to me. Lou had his name is in my book anyway, so it really doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter. But his name was, he called himself Adetunde, an African man who was reincarnated from Africa. And he
mm-hmm.
was a king. And he had a wife. She was 14 years old. They weren't married. She was his
common law.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he had her so manipulated because he was into witchcraft. And he was a sorcerer.
Said she was like a slave to him.
Oh, absolutely. She cleaned his clothes. She washed. She was only 14 years old.
Mm.
And so when he would leave, every time he left, I would minister to her. I would minister to her about the love of Jesus, even though I was a backslider for 3 years because I was so angry with God. I was angry with my dad for trying to kill us, and I was overly burdened with my mother's burdens that she just threw on me. I was her confidant. She talked with me about everything. I knew about Mildred. I knew every time he did something, every time he took the money, didn't bring it home. I knew about ever since I was 4 years old, I was her confidant. So that's why I went into drugs. I didn't go into drugs because I really liked drugs. I liked the feeling of cocaine because I didn't have to think about my mind problems. But I really didn't just want to just do drugs. I loved the Lord. I loved being in church. I loved praising God. I loved the whole 900 miles. I loved them. But I was in a process of rebelling against the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met these sorcerers.
And then he had a house where people came in and out of. And he actually read their palms
and all that stuff, like a southern house.
Oh, yes, yes. They did sacrifices there. You could see them. They did you could see them moving through the air. And then you look and they're not there. They did all kinds of debauchery and yes. Yes. And he did everything to control me and manipulate me because he was into that sorcerer and the witchcraft. And I just wondered, I said, well, Lord, why is it that witches always follow me? And the Lord told me, because your dad brought them in the house, and it's a generational curse. And one day you're going to understand it, and one day you're going to break it, and one day, hallelujah, one day you're going to write a book about it so other people can get delivered.
Because you never know. Now, you said that he would motion his hands, and she would go into a trance-like state, walking around like a zombie. So when he was gone, I would minister to her about the salvation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? It was like you were in a situation, but God sent you to free her. Did you ever get to hear from her at a later date?
No, I never did. I never did. Because the way I got away from him, the Lord told me never to go back to see him, and then I never got back to see her either. But I did tell her, I said, go back to church, go to church, go home, go to school. 14 years old, and she's taking care of this man. He's 29 years old, and I was 19. And he had he would just move his hand, and she would just go into just a little trance. And he tried to do that to me. He tried to control and manipulate me, but I had a praying mother, hallelujah, and nothing could control my mind. Nothing.
I love
a lot of things. A lot of things to try to do.
I love the way you said you taught her from Mark 16:9, when you said, now when Jesus was raised early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She was eager to learn about my Jesus, who could deliver from all types of bondage. And poor baby, she was bound, and you were showing her you don't stay in this state the rest of your life.
Amen. And when he would leave, I would pray with her. I would minister to her, and she'd wake up. She'd come out of the trance. There I was, a backslider, angry with God, mad at my dad, tired of my mom's problems, but I'm ministering to her because I was called to be an evangelist. And you see, when you have a call on your life, they are not revocable. God's not going to say, you couldn't handle the call I got, so I'm going to take it back. That's why it just kept on coming up. It was like burning in my belly. When I saw people who need problems like that, I would minister to her, and I would hold her hand, and I'd help her clean the house while I was there too. And I would minister, and I wouldn't eat any of their food, though I couldn't trust that. But she really accepted the Lord. And when Lou, I believe
that
day,
Holy Spirit.
Amen. When he came home, he'd be real mad because he'd look around because he could feel the Holy Ghost in the house.
On both of you all.
Yes. Yeah, I get saved again and too.
Now at that point, you said that let's say Lou was able to read minds by demonic influence. And about him, and you said you saw him do it several times with other people. He read their thoughts and things about
them. Told them what they were thinking.
Yes.
He got his powers from the enemy, from the devil, from the darkness of Satan himself.
Yeah, and then that made them humble themselves to him.
Oh yes. Yes, he was the master. He was the master. The master of all of the people who came there. They came there killing chickens and taking their blood and just doing all kinds of debauchery. And I never did heroin, like they say. I never did. My brothers came back from Vietnam. They were junkies, actually. There was so much craziness coming over at our house. So I decided I would never drink liquor and I would never do heroin. But when I was living over at the Bronx with the sorcerer and his whatever they are, kept coming in, going out, they put heroin in my cocaine because I had a stash. I never had to buy any kind of drugs or anything because he provided everything trying to get me hooked. But he couldn't get me hooked because my mama prayed too hard.
Right. And so you have a part here where you guys were stopped at the red light, where the policeman knocked at the window with his nightstick and he said, pull over.
Yes, yes. I had a license. Coming from Connecticut, I had a license, and he didn't have a license. Being in New York, a lot of people don't have because they got the subways and everything. So he asked me if I would go and drive, and because he was going to go and get a key load of cocaine. And I said, oh, sure, because I drive all the time, and I know how to drive in the snow. And so he got the key load of cocaine, and we were sniffing coke while I'm driving. He's sniffing it. I'm sniffing it. So we had to slow down. We had a red light, a yellow light, getting ready to be red. The cop saw us, and he knocked on the window. He was busted. And so Adetunde, as slick a man as he was, he says very, very politely, gentle-like, he says, can we just pull over? And the policeman said, yes. And I was getting ready to stop. He said, hit it! And I just sped off down the alleys and everything, and we made it home. I've never been to jail. Thank you, Jesus. And, made it. Yes.
Thank God.
Oh, boy. What an adventure.
That's wonderful.
Wow.
So you said that one night while you were under Louis, his demonic care, that you would sit out on a fire escape. And I call this part when the Lord was wooing you, even though you were backsliding and you weren't trying to serve him, he was still wooing you back then.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a beautiful, well, they had a home. It was yours, brownstone. And it's a New York thing. Sit out on the fire escape. So there was a bar underneath on the first floor, and you could hear music coming up. And I just sat there and I was smoking my cool cigarettes. I was really addicted. The only thing I was ever addicted to was cool cigarettes. And my brother Bobby showed me how to blow rings. So I'm sitting there and I'm blowing rings in the evening. It's nighttime now, and the people were coming in, and just a big to-do downstairs. And all of a sudden, one of my favorite songs came on, and it was by Junior Walker and the All-Stars. That's real dating me way back in the day because I am a mature lady. And anyway, Junior Walker, and the song was like, what does it take, glory to God, hallelujah, what does it take to win your love for me? And if anybody can look it up on it, Junior Walker and the All-Stars, you can look it up on YouTube. And
yeah, I'm very
Walker
familiar. I'm very familiar. Yeah.
Yes. And all of a sudden, it started – The voice started singing, and he started blowing, and I could hear angels when the horn part came. I could hear angels wooing, and when Junior Walker was singing, what does it take? I could hear glory to God. God is saying, what does it take in this heavy voice? He said, I have sent my son to you. I love you, daughter. I called you with an everlasting call. What else can I do? Oh my! And I started weeping. I was weeping. He was singing to me. Hallelujah. I was saying, oh, my Lord. And then I'm staying in the house with these debauchery people that I really don't like, but I don't want to go back home to Connecticut. I'm 19 years old. I don't want to go back home. I have a job here. Oh, my Lord God. And God was singing to me, what does it take to win your love for me. And then he was just making up words. I said, my son, I've taken care of you. I walk you even when you're going out. I protect you. I said, angel, oh, I said, I was just weeping. I was look an ugly cry because I was broken.
Wow.
And then my mother would pray. I could feel my mother praying, and then I would call her. I said, would you please just stop praying so I could just enjoy sin for a minute? And she knew her prayers were working.
That made her pray all the more.
Yes. Yes. The fire got real hot, hotter then.
Wow. Isn't that something that even in the depths of our sins, God is still trying to pull us out and talk to us and deal with us and give us a chance, no matter
Amen.
What?
Because gifts and callings come without repentance. He is not going to repent that he gave you a gift and he's to work in his kingdom. And then we take the gift and want to go out and do other things and for whatever reason. For whatever reason, domestic violence, or just want to go out and just want to go out and have a good time, have a soul tie situation that God's going to have to break anyway.
It's funny because you had a real demon around you, Lou, who was trying to really put a spell on you like he had put on a 14-year-old, his common law girlfriend.
Right.
And he wanted to control your mind the same way that he controlled her mind, but God already won your mind before you even got there.
Right.
The shutdown.
He won my mind before the foundation of the world because he knew. He won my mind before the foundation of the world because he knew what he put in me. He knew that I loved him, and I was just twisted because of my dad's evilness. My dad did get saved before he died, but I was so tormented because of how he treated my mom. But God knew that I loved him, and that's why he sang to me, what does it take? I said, my son, what does it take to win your love for me? What a night.
That's something. Then you said the showdown. This is what you call the showdown from the God who answers by fire. He said Lou asked you to go to lunch with him. And this was an attempt to control you also.
Right, because he couldn't control me. He couldn't control me. Everything he did, he tried to buy me. He gave me all the drugs. I couldn't get strung out. He bought me clothes. He gave me money. Everything I wanted, I could. And he didn't even do his common law wife that like that. That's why I had pity on her, and I was trying to let her know, get yourself better than this. This is not good, what God wants for you. And so what he does, he's a liar. He says, I want you to come to a luncheon with some friends. And so I said, okay. And so we went to upstate Bronx to the beautiful house. I don't know whose house it was, but it was maybe his mom or dad or somebody. And so we went there, and I thought people were going to be there. We were going to have brunch and have a little get-together maybe, but it's only me and him. So we started sniffing cocaine. I thank God for delivering me from cocaine. I really do. And so we laid on the bed. And so Lou was such a sorcerer, and he understood about drugs, how drugs and sorcery is kin to each other. Because in Galatians 5:20 explains how witchcraft and drugs connect. Because the Greek
pharmacia.
Yes, it's pharmacia. And so it's Satan's pharmacy. And Lou, he made all kind of things, enchantments and spells with drugs and stuff like that. And I'd watch them in the house do it. And they worked for people when he would sell them and all that. So what he did, he started, we started sniffing coke. We sniffed a ton of coke, and we laid back on the bed, held hands, and our minds became, because he was such a manipulator of minds, our minds became one. He was one good in telepathy, and our minds came into one, and then he started flicking a numerical system. And just like Eve, you know how Mother Eve, when Satan threw the snake, talked to her, she had to know the business. And that's how she gave into. And so I was like Mother Eve, too. I want to know, what the heck are these numbers flicking through my mind so fast? Mm-hmm. And each time I would try to calculate, they were going in my mind 1,000 miles an hour, because he was such a sorcerer. He knew that mental mind control. And I had opened myself up to see, okay, well, are these numbers going through my mind? I didn't know anything about numerology. I knew about seances, because my dad brought witches into our house for seances since I was 8 years old. So I understood how they do. I understood how they tried to claim us into the kingdom of darkness. And that's a generational curse. I said, but Lord, what in the world's going on? And witchcraft in the house, sorcery, connected. I said, oh, okay, I see. So I opened my mind up to see what, and every time, like he had his common law girlfriend's mind, every single time I would try to calculate the numbers that were flicking through my mind, he would capture part of my mind. And I was like, oh, boy. So what else did you read?
As you said, instead of that, you were thinking about Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So Satan's power would not work. It didn't work. It's to have the same mindset and thinking that Christ had. But I was running from the Lord, offended by Daddy's behavior, shunning Father of God, and I ended up in a powerful war with a warlock.
And how I got out, the numbers kept coming up. I kept looking at the numbers. He kept grabbing part of my mind, and I knew I was losing. I knew I was losing the war. But glory to God, I could run over my house right now. Hallelujah. God sent the 23rd Psalm, started rolling up over our minds. It was like we were in that virtual reality state. The 23rd Psalm, and he saw it. He saw it, and I saw it. And when it got to, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God said, get up, walk out the door, and never see him again. I got up. He was laying on the bed like a dead man. Glory to God. I had a praying mother. Higher. Glory to God. I walked away from him, I walked away from him. I wasn't even high anymore. God took we were so high. We were so high. We were in another world. Our minds were in another world, in a satanic world of witchcraft and sorcery. He had taken me out because he was a master. And when the 23rd Psalm started rolling up in our minds, we both saw it. We both saw the 23rd Psalm. The power of God came in like a mighty rushing wind. Jehovah, Shalom, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Elyon, thank you, Father. Thank you. Came in and broke.
Hallelujah.
I would have been his slave. That's how much power this sorcerer had. But hallelujah, I had a God that was stronger than the sorcerer. And I tell you, I thank God for Jesus. I know the power of God. And my mother, she just labored in prayer. And when God said, okay, when God said, stand up, I stood up. This sorcerer was laying there like he was dead. He couldn't even get up. The power of God slayed him. I walked out and I called my mother. She said, "Oh, I'm praying for you. I already know that. I'm praying for you." She already knew it. She said, "Oh, no. I was in prayer. I was around the throne, because God said that we are seated in heavenly places around God's throne." You know, my mother, we wasn't praying down, snotting down there on the ground. My mother prayed up on the throne with God.
Mm-hmm.
Over there in Ephesians 2, it tells us where we pray from. My mother wasn't even surprised when I called her and told her. She said, "Oh, no, I know you delivered. You coming home, too. You coming home." And I didn't get saved right then. I really didn't get saved that week. But I did in a couple of other weeks. A couple of weeks later, I did come home. And my mother prayed so until God told her. God said, "Stop praying for your daughter." She said, "Because, hallelujah, glory to God." God said, "Irma Jean, my mother, you have sent up so many prayers. You have sent up a monument for your children. Don't pray anymore. Mm-hmm. She's coming home." Glory. Woo.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. I like when you said you telling the people if they or any persons in their family are not covered in the blood of Jesus, witches and warlocks sends messages into your mind against the reality of serving a true and living God by telepathy. And
that's
spiritual,
right.
Satanic,
mm-hmm.
mental telepathy, the process
yes.
of transferring thoughts from one mind to another, has traditionally
Amen.
Occupied the spiritual realm, whose minds are
Amen.
Not covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. When I see
Amen.
The blood, the death angel will
glory.
Pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah.
You know,
yeah, I know, God lived it. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Time is going fast when you're having fun. We have about a minute and a half. So any last words, anybody?
Well, I want to say from Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus." And even though he had a satanic gift of telepathy communication, you know, God says that we have the full mind of Christ if we allow it, and we read
Amen.
Our word and stay strong in the word of God, and no
Thank
weapon
you.
Formed against us can prosper. A lot of times
That's
people have a lot of battles in their minds, and it's just the enemy with oppression
Amen.
And depression trying to take
Amen.
Them down. And I tell you, if you pick up your word and read it out loud, and keep reading it, all those
yes.
things will fade, the oppression and the depression. And Dr. Chandler, we really appreciate you. You are a true overcomer, a trooper, a soldier in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry you went through that, but I love that you did. Because now people know these things are true and real. And the
yes.
battle is real. And we're waging not a natural war, but a spiritual war against the enemy. Thank you so
Amen.
Much for coming on.
Amen.
And,
God bless you.
Next week, we're going to have you on next week also. And anybody have any questions that they wrote down or they want to know, we're going to do like a half an hour probably of her speaking. And then the next last half an hour, we'll have people call and ask anything that they want to know about the spirit realm, because she's very, very educated in these areas. God bless
yes.
you all. Thank you for calling, coming in, or tapping in on the pictures. And the Lord be with you all. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen.
Amen.
And tell them where to get the book.
God bless.
Tell them where to get the book.
God oh, yeah, go on
you.
Amazon. Make sure you go get Dr. Chandler Kelly, Destroying Witchcraft and Principalities, Reigning in Victory. It's a study book. So you will learn a lot, see a lot, and know a lot. Bless you. It's on Amazon.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Good
God
night.
Bless. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.